Welcome back, Daily Ticket. Sean Brace, John Jansen with you here on a Wednesday. Let's head out to the Gambler Hotline. Joe Tanzi going to join us. Be sure to read him across at broad.com, JTanzi90. Now, Joe, before we dive into this Sweet 16 conversation, I have to ask you a Philadelphia Union question because we do have some breaking news. Kayvon, how do you say his first name?
Cavan.
There Cavan. You go. It'd be cooler if it was Kayvon. Anyways, Cavan Sullivan is an absolute beast. He's 14 years old, younger brother of Quinn Sullivan.
His brother's playing pretty well, too.
His brother is playing really well. If you checked out the quads, Quadzilla, apparently. So the news is that Cavan Sullivan now will join Man City at the age of 18. He's 14 now. I never expected to see him play in the Philadelphia Union uniform. I know he's playing for Union, too. I didn't know. I just thought, okay, he's going to sign. He's going to go across seas, whatever it may be. Didn't know that there was some age nonsense that they have to deal with. Anyways, long question here is, will we see young Sullivan in a Philadelphia uniform before he joins Man City at the age of 18?
Yes, but I think we need to focus on the key thing here. He's 14 years old. I think we do this.
I'm not talking this year. I'm not talking this year.
What about next year, though, when he's 15?
Well,
no.
Yeah. Kid's ridiculous.
What I'm about to say is going to apply exactly to that next year, too. We did this thing in soccer, right, where if you're the next big thing, we have to hype you up, and it's our job to hype you up. And if you don't live up to expectations, by the time you're, 17, you're a bust, and it becomes, I mean, really just, like, wears these kids down. And, look, I think the hype is definitely deserved, right? Manchester City's on him, and some people have called him the most talented player in the world at his age. But I think we also need to kind of take a step back and do realize, like, he is 14 years old, and there is a ton of pressure that has been heaped on this kid for at least 2 years. I mean, I've heard Jim Curtin mention his name multiple times in the last few years. This isn't just a thing that just popped up. So it's hard, right? Because you want to see the best talent come through, and you want to see them play in Philadelphia. But he's also 14 years old, playing in a rapidly – potentially playing in a rapidly evolving Major League Soccer. And Quinn Sullivan, his brother, who just turned 20 today, I mean, how long has he been with the team?
Yeah,
it feels like he's been there forever. And it's taken multiple years, not just on the first team roster, but playing in MLS to get to that point. I mean, how much hype did we put around Brendan Aaronson?
Oh, Paxton was even worse. We put so much hype around Paxton.
Right.
When he was 17. Well,
and unfortunately, Paxton didn't get a chance to play a lot of first-team minutes for the Union. But with Brendan, I mean, hell, the second he signed a first-team contract, the load of expectation we put on him was insane, right? Because you have to be the next big thing. You're this prodigy, all this stuff. And it took him a while. And it's still taken him a while to adjust to other leagues in Europe. So, like, and it's so hard for me. Like, it's exciting without a question, right? But
oh, yeah.
I think we lose the perspective on this in, like, the real world so fast, right? We're spending multiple hours of our day talking about a 14-year-old. He's 14 years old. I mean, think of where you were when you were 14 years old. Exactly.
Yeah, but I'll push back. Come on. I don't know where this is coming from because I'm not talking about him all hours. I'm just trying to find out,
there are certain people stalking out the Union 2 games just specifically to talk to him.
Well, I would say it's exciting that this kid who's being discussed with the top clubs in the world.
I mean, the Union just made a
Philadelphia Union player. Like, Brendan Aaronson can't sniff this kid. Let's just be honest. The clubs that we're talking about here are the best of the best. Yes, this kid has come up to the ranks. We can't talk about this kid enough.
I agree with everything you're saying in terms of the hype and how exciting it is. But, like, what happens if they threw him on an MLS field tomorrow?
But they won't.
And they shouldn't.
And they like I trust Jim Curtin. I trust Jim. I trust Jim Curtin more than anybody to handle this the right way.
I can. I agree, but I can name about 25% of MLS teams that would do that instantly.
Okay, that's fair. But we know how Jim operates.
And and that's what like. I don't know. I approach it with caution because. I mean,
I just asked if he's going to play for us next year. That's all I asked. No. I wasn't asking if this kid's going to win the Golden Boot or anything. I didn't think we were going to see him.
The Union Soccer podcast in like a week, so this has been like topic number one.
Okay,
but we did the same thing with Freddie Adu, right?
Again, Freddie Adu wasn't being discussed as Manchester City and Bayern Munich or Barcelona, you name it.
Yeah, he was.
Come on. A lot has changed since Freddie Adu. It feels like this is something different.
I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I'm not going to say he's going to be a bust. I'm just saying, like, let's let the kid live his life. And, like, if he's continue to progress in soccer and get better, it's going to be awesome to see him develop on the field. Like, Jim Curtin preached the exact same message at the start of the season. Like, he is 14. He's done this with a lot of the products that have come through, which, to your point, I think is a great reason why the Union are well equipped to handle a situation like this. Oh, yeah. That they're going to let him live his life, not put the leaps and bounds of expectation that everyone on the internet has put on him. Like, I'm not saying he's got a bad head on his shoulders. I'm just saying, like, relax a little bit. Let the kid be. He signed the contract.
Joe, let me ask you. Is that for today? Is that really for today? Come on, man. This news just came out. Why are you going down this angle? That's not for today.
I know. I actually do. I like this angle because this isn't something that happens in American sports, though. This is a 14-year-old.
Approved to play for the Philadelphia Union, and you guys are like, don't talk about it.
No, it's not talking about it, but it's what are the expect? Like, what should we expect from a situation to play out like this?
I think that is my question. Years old. Because he's being discussed with the top club in the world.
It's amazing.
He is going to sign with one of the clubs that have the most money, with Man City, that are continuing to compete for the EPL championship, if not more, Champions League, yo, and so forth. And like, you guys are like, hey, let's not put too much pressure on. It's not for today.
Okay. So I'll ask this question then, and from a different angle or perspective. What are the chances, Joe, that he actually does make the Man City, and he's good enough to make the Man City by the time he turns 18? Like, what do these situations look like? Because it's a 14-year-old. A lot can change from 14 to 18 years old. You know, maybe you don't develop the right way, or we've seen this with, I think the best example is college kids when in eighth grade, when they get a scholarship. We have heard those stories before. They're the weirdest stories, where Lane Kiffin is given an eighth grade kid a scholarship to be a quarterback. And I think the only time we ever heard that, I think it might've been Sills, who ended up actually being a wide receiver in college and a wide receiver in the NFL. Like things change so much. So what are the chances? Like what have been previous cases before to show that he is now at 14 years old, actually going to make it to Man City by 18, and he's going to be a Man City player?
It's not 100% success rate. No one's going to tell you that, right? Like, it really comes down to individual and like how everything is built up. I mean, I'll give you the perfect example that's going on in soccer right now is this Endrick, the Brazilian, who's 17 years old and is doing the exact same thing and is signed for Real Madrid. Like, he's playing for the Brazil national team. Everything and anything about him seems like he's on that trajectory. He's going to play for Real Madrid for a long time and all that. That is the best case scenario, right? And we've seen that happen. I mean, look at all the, like, 18 to 23 year olds that are thriving at big clubs in Europe. There's no doubt that can happen. But there's also, you know, the other part where I've seen it, and I think I'm approaching this with caution because I've been in the American soccer bubble probably way too long than I want to be, but I've seen cases like this. So maybe not to the Manchester City signing him at 14 extent, but I've seen cases where the player gets hyped up when he's a youth prospect, he goes overseas, and then we forget about him for 2 years. And then he pops up somewhere and we're like, oh, good for him. But he was a bust. And we just discarded him from everything that we did years prior. So that's why I approach it with caution, because I've seen it. I'm not saying he'll be a bust. I'm saying, like, it's great for the club. It's great for the union. I think the union will benefit greatly from this, because if they develop him properly, and if Jim Curtin and Ernst Tanner and every Marlon LeBlanc in the union too, everybody develops him properly and he becomes a star at 18 years old, the amount of young prospects that are going to want to come to the Philadelphia Union because they handled things properly, they developed these players properly, is going to be tenfold. Like, there's no doubt about it that the spotlight on this team, its academy, and how it develops players is going to grow. And this is the big test case now. They've had the Aronsons, they had Mark McKenzie. Hell, Austin Trusty, it took him an extra stop in MLS. But where did his development start? Started with the Union, and he signed with Arsenal. He's never going to play for Arsenal, but he signed for Arsenal. Excuse me, he's playing for the Premier League with Sheffield United. So, I mean, I would trust the Union to make sure he gets to that point. And I'm not saying it's not exciting. I'm just approaching it with caution because he is still 14. And if you put him on an MLS field today, he probably gets dominated, rightfully so. But then what does that do for, like, the player's mental health, you know, how he develops, all that stuff? All of those things, I think, will be handled properly by the Union because they focus so much on the player. And they've cultivated that environment. I'm just saying, like, there are, like, human sides to this other than he just signed for Manchester City.
Hey, all I know is
not the answer Brace wanted.
No, all I asked was, like, is the kid going to play for the
– I've seen this play out over, like, the last week or so, and just, like – yes, it's fantastic, but you also have to, like, approach it with caution because, like – this is still a 14-year-old human being we're dealing with. And, like, the amount of pressure that is now heaped on to Kevin Sullivan is immense. Like, everyone has been talking about him for years, and now it's finally here.
Oh, now this is an extra magnifying glass. This is like four times now, just highlighting Kevin Sullivan.
Let's get him up.
It's here.
Let's go.
It's arrived. The
get
hype
him to
train
the top club. He'll be playing with his brother. He's in a great situation. Jim's his coach. Doesn't get any better than that. Like I said,
Kevin and Quinn dominating MLS.
I didn't know the dang. That's crazy. Is there a chance there's definitely a chance that we're going to have two sets of brothers, Sullivans and Aronsons for Team USA in years to come? That's insane. That's absolutely insane. That is incredible. All right, look.
There is a chance. I'm not saying this will happen because of positions and age.
Oh, we already know where you're going. Yes, we got the vibe for today. All right, calm down, relax. No expectations.
Let me finish. There is a chance that 6 of the 11 starters on the national team one point could be developed by the union.
Jeez, wow,
unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
In the best case scenario, if the Sullivans reach their potential, if the Aronsons reach their potential, and if Mark McKenzie and Austin Trusty continue on their trajectory, you could. Now, positions and age, of course, it will all have to align perfectly. But you could have now a dream scenario, maybe in say 4 or 5 years, where they could all be in the mix if they continue upward. That's where I was going with that. Be positive.
Philadelphia Union Soccer Factory up there, baby, in Chester. That's what it's all about. Actually, it'd be the academy in King of Prussia.
Just send the USA team to Chester. That's now where they train.
Now they're all together in Chester with those brand new fields out there. So you're right. All right, look, it is exciting. I just didn't know the rules and what's what and whether or not this kid will have an opportunity to get out there and play for this team, whether or not.
I mean, look, they could sign him. They could sign him tomorrow and say, go play on Saturday against Minnesota. They could. They're not going to, but they could.
Next year will probably be the year that he'll, if that's the case, then he'll get in there. Do you think they might get him up to the big club this year? If he's playing Union too, why not?
It's got a shot. I mean, a lot of things have to fall in line for it to happen, but I mean, maybe I'm not saying start, but off the bench. I mean, the way the Union's bench attacking options are going,
Yeah, look, you know, as far as that's concerned, right? I didn't think he was getting see, again, from my perspective, I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff. I didn't think he was going to be playing any game minutes except for Team USA or whatever it is that he's under 14, whatever it may be, under 21, whatever. But I thought it was like, hold up, we got to get him signed so he's not playing anything. Then I see him catching minutes for Union 2, and I'm like, okay, well, he's playing. This is cool. And now that he is signed officially, so it's like, hey, we're going to keep you in Union colors until you turn 18. Yeah, he's definitely going to catch some minutes here. So it's really cool to see
this happen. The Union ended up doing the right thing, 100% the right thing, by allowing to stay in Philly to develop. Because what Man City usually does is they got a bunch of feeder clubs that they could have just said, hey, we'll sign a pre-contract. When you're 16, come over, we'll loan you out to Belgium or whatever club they want to. And then when you're 18, come to Manchester City.
That speaks volumes about Union then, right? If Man City are comfortable enough, hey, just stay there till you're 18. You know, you'll develop correctly.
Well, also, I think the NYCFC deal had something to do with it, right? Like, nobody wanted to see that happen. That can't be right. Of course, they did. You know, he signs with Man City.
The club that they were mentioned to be in loan was a team in Belgium because he could play at 16 in Belgium, but he can't because of all like the laws and everything in England. He could play until 18 at Man City.
It's probably, yeah. Well, I don't know what's better for him or what's not. You know, this kid's got the world by the you know what.
That's kind of like the big point I'm making. We don't know what's best for this kid. We're just outsiders talking about soccer.
I want to see him play, though.
At least we're talking about soccer.
How many would want to see him play? How much does this boost? I hate to say ticket sales, whatever, but how much would this boost maybe the spotlight on the Union now if he were? Whenever he does, next year, a couple of years, whenever it is. I mean, how much of a spotlight would this put a Man City signee that could be on the field for the Union? How much would that boost, I guess, the spotlight on them, eyes on them?
It absolutely would boost it. It's just take that everything we just talked about and try to explain it to a casual 4 for 4.
Right, exactly. Yep.
And they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, God, yeah. So, yeah. Like, no shot.
Yeah. So like, that's the whole thing where, like, if you promote it, hey, in like 2 years, hey, here's this 16-year-old phenom, but wait, he's not going to play for us after next year. Because I think they said there's a clause that if he develops past the MLS level that a loan can take place. So yeah, there's like all sorts of, which is why it probably took forever for this to get done. But like, yeah, that's the hard part, right? Because if you go to like, you try to explain this whole situation to somebody at the bar, they'll be like, well, let's move on and talk about something else, right?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you right now. Let's get on over to Sweet 16. Nice work. No, look, I get it. I understand. Like, you are the one that's invested in this. You've been paying attention to it from the day one. I just see a kid with a blonde, you know, dye job who is balling for, I don't know. I thought this was pretty cool. The MLS Next, which took place in Austin in 2023. And I see these baby Union kids just out there looking like a FIFA video game, and it was so cool. And at the top of the chart is this kid who is Quinn Sullivan, who's a badass in his own right. His younger
Quinn
brother
playing so well this year.
You know, like, I'm
great.
Fired up now. I didn't like I see Tana Wad's tweet in front of me, Joe, where it's like, I didn't think that this had a chance in hell at happening. I thought it was Union 2, and he's signing somewhere else. Money coming in for the Philadelphia Union. Look out, another product shipped off, and they cash in. But the fan loses, and that's the way I viewed all of this. I get it, big picture. You have to understand it. But we lose out by not having Brandon Aaronson here. We lost out by not having Mark McKenzie here. We lost out by by not having, of course, Paxton, what we're discussing. And who else knows what's rolled through these academy over the years. And I get it. The Union are making money, and it's a great deal for them. It would be nice to be in a running on some of these high-priced free agents that are out there with all this buku amounts of money that you're getting from this talent that's coming through your academy. I'm sure I'm singing the same tune that a lot of Union fans are singing. So if we can get this kid out there, whether he produces or not, I hope he does. It's exciting. It's cool. And I'm fired up for it. Of course, Union coming up on Saturday, 2 o'clock kick against Minnesota. They got Minnesota on Saturday.
Minnesota. I'm fairly certain we just recorded an episode of the Union Soccer Podcast with special guest Sean Brace. Welcome back to the Union Soccer Podcast.
I actually was going to say that I want to get back recording Philadelphia Union Soccer Podcast. You? How about that?
He wants back. Now this kid signs and Brace wants to take his spot back. He's kicking me out of the host chair and he's going to take the spot back. There it is. I've been waiting for that. It's like the Red Hot Chili Peppers kicking out. It's like the Red Hot Chili Peppers kicking out the guitarist that took over for John Frusciante.
John Frusciante. Get his name right. I don't know.
I've said Kevin Sullivan for years. All right. I don't know who. Whatever.
Who was the guitarist that they kicked out John Frusciante for?
Frusciante. I don't even know. Can't even remember. But Frusciante came back and they said, yeah, you're out. Go ahead. You can take your spot back, Frusciante.
All right.
I butchered his name. I didn't even know his name.
That was a great segue. Dave Navarro?
Not Dave Navarro. No, Dave Navarro's the...
No, Josh Klinghoff?
Yeah. That's the guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for your services, bud. Bands anyway.
What's that?
Dave Navarro's been like 15,000 bands anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't he host like a tattoo show?
Yes, he does. Let's talk about the Sweet 16 because I tweeted out that we were going to talk about 20 minutes ago. So now I'm actually going to come over the top of that tweet. No, actually, now we are. All right. And there's a great video on my timeline.
Are the Red Hot Chili Peppers overrated? I always thought that.
No, John. Don't. I always thought that. Come on,
dude.
We're
not doing that right now.
Yeah, dude. Come on.
I really
did.
They had a couple cool songs like years ago and.
It's an iconic rock band, and like
they just do the same song over and over.
All right, let's go. Sweet 16.
John, you're overrated.